Okay, everyone, so let's start this afternoon's meditation. As usual, I'll start off by just talking a little bit, and then we can do some meditation in practice afterwards. So. And as always, one of the main things about meditation is to enable you to get rid of some of the disturbances in the mind. Obviously, it's very difficult to be calm and to have clarity if you have all these disturbances, often known as defilements in Buddhism. And so we need techniques to overcome these disturbances, these defilements. And one of the great ways of doing this, and this is something that you see a lot in the world of the Buddha, is to do a little bit of death contemplation. And you can incorporate this into your practice. The idea of death contemplation is just to understand that how ephemeral and impermanent and unreliable and uncertain things in life actually are. And the power of that is that once you grasp how uncertain it is, once you grasp how unreliable it is, you let go. There's nothing to hold on to. There's nothing there which is truly significant. So the idea is to bring this idea of death into the present moment, knowing that the world is unreliable, uncertain, not sure what's going to happen next, and then let it all be. Once you let it all be, no more desires, or at least they get reduced, and there's nothing to really be upset or angry about in the world because you let go all of those things, and then the mind becomes peaceful if it works out in the right way. So it's a very simple thing, but it's profound at the same time. It's simple in the idea that you use, the idea of death, but it's profound in the sense that it actually takes getting used to this idea to actually make it powerful and make it something that really calms you down and really makes you peaceful in a profound way. And sometimes all you have to do is just to sit down and you close your eyes, as always, make yourself reasonably peaceful first of all. And once you reach a little bit of peace, but the mind doesn't seem to want to go any further, there's something kind of obstructing it, you're thinking about all kind of things that pertain to your ordinary life or whatever it is, and you are kind of obsessed by those things, that is often a good time to use the death contemplation, to realize that those things are not that important. In the face of death, they're kind of, okay, who knows the outcome of these things anyway. So sometimes a simple reflection like that is enough to kind of make things calm down, to make you see things in perspective, to understand what really matters in this world. At other times, what you can do is you go through a more structured kind of contemplation, whereby you actually imagine yourself on your deathbed. It's going to happen sooner or later, and most people are not really prepared for it when it happens. And so just going through that process of letting go, of seeing what it feels like to be lying on your deathbed. We've all been there before. We're all going to be there again, at least once. And so for that reason, this can be useful to go through the process, what it feels like, letting go, stage by stage, understanding there's nothing you can hold on to in this world. So either of these techniques can be useful. So I would recommend you to, if you are serious about meditation practice, to add this to your repertoire, because one of the things the Buddha really recommends is the reflection on dying, because it is a very spiritual thing. It turns your mind towards a spiritual path when you understand how unreliable the world actually is. So just one little tool to use, let's try it out in practice. Okay, so as always, just start off by making sure you're nice and comfortable. You don't have any pains or problems. It is always good to put a lot of attention to what happens at the beginning, because that often dictates how the rest of the meditation goes. Make sure you're comfortable and then learn to really relax. The idea of relaxing and being at ease is so important, such an important foundation for the practice. And even if you just do this much for the whole hour, it is really worthwhile if you can relax properly. And just allow the world to flow by as if you have no real interest in that world. It is just an object of awareness, but you have no interest in the sense of having any attachments or any problems with it. Things just are, but they have nothing to do with you. It's as if you are just standing back and watching something which is not anything to do with you whatsoever. And as you do this, this is how you build up the mindfulness. So just allow the world to be, none of your business, and then mindfulness will arise. if you are finding it hard to let go, if you find that your mind roams around in the world, in the past, whatever it is, just very gently remind yourself that death is always a possibility. Death will eventually come. There is nothing in that world we can really hold on to. Now is the time to learn to let go, because it always comes at an inconvenient time. Now is the real time. So just be gentle with this. Don't force yourself. Don't do it if you feel the mind resists. But gently, gently allow yourself to understand the uncertainty of the external world. There's nothing there to hold on to. Instead, allow yourself to be without those attachments and desires and become peaceful in the present moment. And as your mindfulness develops, you will feel a kind of emptiness inside. Nothing in the world is really attracting you or repelling you in any way. Just going along with the flow. And just feel how delightful that emptiness is. And you start to understand already something about why this path of meditation is so wonderful. So feel that emptiness inside. And as you do so, along with that emptiness, you can start watching the breath. But watch the breath in a way as if you're watching something at a distance, something outside of the train window, something over which you have no control. You're just following along, observing from a distance, easy, empty, and delightful. Okay, so coming very close now to the end of the meditation, and as usual, I would recommend you to just take stock for a few moments and ask yourself of the progress you have made or the lack of progress, and just reflect for a few moments on how that progress comes about. Thank you. Okay, everyone. So, if you have anyone has any questions or comments, this is a good time to ask. Over here, you want to use the
Could you say something about how to meet fear if it arises when contemplating one's death?
Sorry, can I say it again?
Could you say something about how to meet fear?
Yeah.
If it arises when contemplating one's
non-self,
death?
Non-self, okay.
When one's death.
Okay, so how to deal with fear when you contemplate non-self? You're relating to the theme. Okay, very good. Okay, so I think the best way, I take it very gently, not to make it too strong. I mean, we all know at the back of our mind we're going to have to die one day. And what is fearful, I think, is often if we make it come very close to us, it kind of sounds fearful if you can die the next moment. That's almost a bit, it's very much in your face. So just go very slowly and just know, first of all, you're going to die. Well, when that point eventually comes, at that point, you're going to have to let go of pretty much everything. So you kind of start off with that idea, okay, for now it may be a long time into the future. And then you gradually expand it, you gradually expand the number of things you realize you have to let go of. So if initially you just kind of use a kind of more general idea, then you think more detailed about what the things are, then you bring it closer to the present moment, until the point comes when you are ready to let go of everything in the present moment, because you could die on your next breath. This is what the Buddha says. The ideal way of doing death contemplation is the idea that you could die on your next breath. That is a very high standard to clear, if you like. That's what I would say. Just do it gradually. And the other thing is just also to remember that the thing about the Dhamma is, if you have lived a good life, then generally speaking, there's nothing really to be afraid of from death. You take with you your good qualities. This is the one thing that you carry with you into the future. So just reflect for a moment on those good qualities. Okay, this is what I have, how I live my life. I've done these things. This is what I will take with me into the future. And then you kind of feel that this is something, you have a support there, a source that will carry you forward once you pass away, instead of kind of standing naked. You're not really naked at all, because you're bringing with you all of this goodness into the future. It's actually quite nice to do a death contemplation. I sometimes do that when I teach meditation retreats. If you do it in the right way, and you start to feel that emptiness as you're approaching death, because you're letting go of so much, it's actually so light, and it's so bright, and it's so delightful. I don't know, sometimes you just meditate, you don't actually need to do death contemplation. You just feel the emptiness inside, and so feel that emptiness. And it's actually a very delightful feeling when you feel empty inside. All this ego stuff, all the desires, all these things, they're actually heavy burdens in life. The emptiness is so much more delightful. And that's what happens when you die. Because you're letting go of things, you start to feel more empty. It's a delightful feeling. And when you feel delighted, then all your good qualities kind of come rushing in, because that's what you remember when you feel delight, and everything kind of comes together. Then you actually feel delighted, you feel gratitude to the world, you feel gratitude to the path, to all the kalanamittas, and everything comes together in a very beautiful way. So try something like that. It actually reminds you of all those positive qualities that comes with a dying experience. Okay. Let's get my eyes out of my bag here. Okay, so this is first one is a question from Lithuania. And the question is as follows: how to make meditation enjoyable as to develop natural feeling of attraction towards regular practice? What you have to do is you have, this is a very important point, and it has all to do with the attitude that you have in your meditation practice. It's important to have an attitude of goodwill, an attitude of positive feelings when you do your meditation. If you don't have that, it's going to be very hard to enjoy what is going on. And this is part of the process that you try to build up as you meditate. You become peaceful first, then you try to remember little things that actually bring that joy into the present moment. All the blessings in your life, And once you remember your blessings, you have a sense of gratitude. Remember the things that you have done in your life that have been very positive and delightful. Remember your kalyanamittas. Remember the fact that you are in the presence of these wonderful Dhamma teachings. Whatever it is, all of these things, that spiritual joy is really what you want to. It doesn't have to be very joyful initially, but it gives you a little bit of mental boost and energy when you think about things like that. So this is what makes meditation enjoyable. And also compare what you experience, anything you experience in meditation, compare to how you feel outside, the peace you have, all the positive feelings. Just focus on that and see that. If you find it hard, some people do find meditation difficult, some people don't enjoy meditation at all, the reason is because you haven't developed enough of the other factors. So just put meditation aside for a while. Don't do much. Do it once a week. Do it once a month. Do whatever you enjoy. But then concentrate on the other factors of the Noble Eightfold Path. Treat other people with more kindness. Think more kind thoughts. Have more compassion in your life. Reduce any ill will that you may have. These are all the preliminary requisites on the path. Be more generous as a person. All of these things are very powerful and very useful things. So generosity is just happening right now. Yay! Well done. Wow, you are so excellent. Thank you very much, Niall. Okay. So try out these things. Remember that meditation is not the most important thing on the Buddhist path. The most important thing is actually how we live our life. That is more fundamental, more foundational than the meditation practice. So I hope that helps. So good luck. Next one is a question from the USA. I live with a young woman who was abused, neglected, and traumatized her entire upbringing. We're having difficulties with her emotional triggers. What kind of meditation might help? So it's not really, again, this is not really a matter for meditation practice. This is a matter for reflection. In Buddhism, there's two mainstays, two powers the Buddha talks about, the power of reflection and the power of meditation. How you deal with other people is a matter of reflection rather than meditation. So think about her in the right way. If someone really has been traumatized, as you say, like that, then it's good grounds for having compassion. This is a person who is really hurting inside, who is having a lot of difficulties. She's not in control of herself. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's just acting on these things that are part of her upbringing. So there's very good grounds for having, she doesn't want to do these things, but she has no choice. She's been programmed by her bad upbringing to live in a certain way, and it's got nothing to do with you or whoever else lives with her. So again, see her, understand that she is running on a program. She probably doesn't want to be like that. She probably wants to be kind like everyone else, because we all know that kindness really works and kindness makes us happy. And then when you get that, you can have compassion for her, you can be kind, you can let it go. Just like you, if she was a robot, or she was a red light, would you get upset with a red light when the red light goes red? Normally people don't get so upset with red lights because they know the red light, there's no intention there, it's just a program. But people are really like red lights. This is kind of the thing here. There's no self there. It's not driven by a desire to be bad or to hurt other people. It's more driven by this program that has been programmed into you. Then you can be kind to her because you understand that she's a bit like a red light, red traffic light, yeah? You come to the red traffic light, you just chillax. You don't really get so upset about it. Okay. The last question is from France. I recognize external superficial sources impress my thinking and cause fictional stories rather than fact in meditation. How do we protect ourselves from the advert billboards, the shop music, etc.? I don't think it is possible to fully protect yourself from those things unless you become a monk or a nun, yeah? That is, then you are really protected from those things. Really recommended. I really recommend the lifestyle monk and nun. But if you're not ready for that yet, then the trick really is just to enjoy the meditation practice. The reason why these things come up in your meditation is really because you are interested in those things. They give you some happiness, they give you some distraction. You're not enjoying the peace, you're not enjoying the emptiness inside. That is really the problem. If you enjoy the meditation, you will be able to let go of these superficial things very, very quickly. So find ways of perceiving the meditation in a positive way. Perceive the beauty in the stillness, in the emptiness, in the just being peaceful by yourself and all of these kind of things. A little bit like I said to the previous person here. And as you do that, your mind will no longer be interested in those distractions. It is the interest which is the problem. The distractions don't bother you, it is you who have the interest in those distractions. And it's interesting, one of the very famous meditation teachers in Thailand, he's actually Ajahn Brahm's teacher, and he said, it's not the sound that disturbs you, it is you who disturb the sound. Yeah? In other words, the problem is you, it is your interest which is the problem. You go to that sound, you don't just let it be and allow it to pass through you, you have an interest in it. You have an interest in these habits in the mind. That is really the issue there. So as you go along, you will find that sometimes it will work, sometimes it won't. Yeah, it's not always going to work. Look at your mind state when it works. We can learn so much from meditation at those times when it really works, it really comes together, you really feel peaceful. Why do you feel peaceful? And that's why I really encourage people to reflect a little bit at the end of the meditation before they kind of just get up and walk out, because it allows you to understand the process. Yeah, why is it sometimes you can't be peaceful, whereas other times you can? And the reason is because you are perceiving in a certain way, you're looking at the world in a certain way. This is what allows you to let go, that's what allows you to, you know, to allow you that depth in your meditation practice. Okay, that is all for now. Let's just pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.